Mayor Reynolds is participating in that discussion. Moving on to the approval of the minutes for the December 17, 2024 minutes. Any comments on minutes? Minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment for our first public comment. This is for any subject that is not being voted on this evening. We have three individuals signed up in advance. We'll start with Mr. Harry Faber. I will remind everyone about our 5-minute time limit. Excuse me. And also, if you don't mind stating your name for the record for our city clerk. Thank you.
Harry Faber. Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. I hope your holidays were splendid. 2024 sure was something, huh? In 2024, Israel killed an average of 41 children per day. Can you imagine that? 41 children. A study came out in December titled, "Meat Study, Impact of War in Gaza on Children with Vulnerabilities and Families." It was conducted by the Community Training Center for Crisis Management in Gaza, and the findings broke my heart. One, here are the facts. One, 79% of the children in Gaza suffer from nightmares. 79%. 87% of them experience severe fear. 38% report bedwetting. 49% of caregivers said that their children believed they would die in the war. And five, 96% of the children in Gaza felt that death was imminent. Put simply, every child in Gaza believes they are going to die. In 2024, I told you guys to be a little revolutionary more times than I can count. I figured since some of you guys are fellow Greyhounds like myself, maybe it meant something to you like it meant to me. You know, I chose it to mean something. And although we all didn't go to Moravian, we all do live in historic Bethlehem. Did I miss the meeting where we decided to stop being historic? I can list the history. Moravian University was founded in 1742. We were the first college ever, well, Moravian College at the time, was the first college ever to educate women in America, as well as the first college to educate Native Americans in their own language. That's what they claim. Lehigh was founded in 1865, over a century later. The historic Bethlehem Steel was founded in 1857 until its bankruptcy in 1995. The historic Hotel Bethlehem, which I worked at for a little over 3 years, celebrated its 100-year anniversary a few years back in 22 because it opened in 1922. Are we done with all that? Are we done being historic? Is our history over? Of course not. It's a crazy question. It's ludicrous. History is happening every day. So I'm asking you, City Council, make some history. Start the new year off right. Every meeting I came to last year, every meeting, I spoke about this genocide. And I'm asking you, I'm not even asking for a ceasefire resolution, which I would love, and you guys did promise back in February. Condemn the genocide being funded by our country, by our government. Demand that our finite, limited resources be spent on us instead of on genocide, on death, and destruction. As Howard Zinn said, you can't be neutral on a moving train. And I'm saying right now, you can't be neutral when you win this genocide.
Thank you, Mr. Faber. Next speaker this evening is Joe Daniels.
Everyone, Happy New Year. I'm a little unprepared today, but I'm going to try and speak off the cuff as much as possible. So my topic today is the South Side of Bethlehem, primarily how the South Side of Bethlehem has deteriorated since my time in my home, which has been over 50 years now. I live on Broadway, one of the main streets in Bethlehem, so I've seen all of the changes over the years. And I've mentioned this before. To be honest with you, you know, the South Side gets a bad rap because of the way it looks, primarily. It's not as nearly as bad as people think. But because of the way the South Side looks, the appearance of the South Side, people automatically associate it with high crime, drugs, things of that nature. And yes, we have issues, like all cities and neighborhoods have, but it's not as bad as people think. And unfortunately, I'm going to put the blame of the aesthetics of the South Side on the city. I'm doing this in large part because, again, as I mentioned this in previous meetings, you have a number of ordinances that are not being enacted. a number of them. Everything from weeds to snow to garbage to painting of the properties to not having furniture on your front porches. Everything possible, there's an ordinance for it, that you cannot do it. Yet, these ordinances are overlooked. Nobody is doing anything. And I'm only speaking of the South Side because that's where I live, that's what I see every day. It's very upsetting that this has been taking place for well over my lifetime. And again, I know this because I've grown up in that same house. I'm 57 years old. I moved into that house with my mom and dad when they got married when I was 5 years old. So I've been there for quite a while. And nothing's gotten better as far as the residents are concerned. Everything's gotten worse. Business-wise, everything's booming with the businesses. They have pretty storefronts and this, that, and the other, and they have the nice brick-lined sidewalks, and everything's crisp and clean with the businesses. But with the residents, with the homeowners, and the slumlords specifically, they're not, and I'm tired of it. Not only is it bringing down property value that I would love to see increase, but it's bringing down the morale of those that want a better neighborhood and are not getting it. I walked my dog the other day and almost busted my behind on a rental property because it was not shoveled. No salt thrown out or anything. And this is every other house going down Broadway. I know there was talk at one point about someone driving around and doing like a ticket type thing. Why that hasn't come to fruition, I don't know. Is it budget? Probably. And this is where this piece comes in. So you guys are getting $52,000 some odd dollars for every unit that's not being deemed affordable housing with all these new properties going up, all these new apartment buildings going up. And I understand that's earmarked for the other new property that you plan on putting up on 4th Street, where the Facility Fuel was. Fantastic. I understand a portion of that is going to be affordable housing. Fantastic. But some of that money needs to be earmarked to take care of the residents, both homeowners and tenants, that have unfortunately no other choice but to live in these slumlord buildings that are not being handled properly on the inspection side, which is another issue. Something needs to be done. I don't care if you send out a mailing to everyone, giving them a 60-90-day notice to get their properties up to snuff, or they're going to start getting cited. I know people can't afford a lot of things, I understand this, but something has to happen. I'm tired of walking down the street, seeing garbage everywhere, which is another ordinance, that for every occupant within a rental, there's to be a 32-gallon trash can. That's not the case. Angela Mitchell would speak on trash all the time. You go down Broadway, again, Broadway, catty corner from the TD Bank there's a red building. Any time of the day, any day of the week, trash lined up the side of the building. They probably have 8 to 10 trash cans there, which is not enough. So there's trash everywhere. And I'm just tired of it, guys. I love my home, I love my neighborhood, but I'm tired of the way that people are not being held accountable for the way they keep their properties. I'm tired of these slumlords getting away with just too much crap. And I really need you guys to do something about it, finally. First and foremost, something has got to be done. It's ridiculous at this point. It makes no sense. Don't have these ordinances on the books if you're not going to enact them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Daniels. If anyone was looking for seats, there's a few over here. If you want to sit down, it's up to you. To anyone who just joined us, we're currently in our public comment for anything not being voted on this evening. Our final person who had previously signed up, Mark Will Weber.
Happy New Year, Council. Mark Will Weber, 66 West Elizabeth Avenue. I'm representing the DRIP, the Water and Sewer Advocate Citizens Group. And I just wanted to relate an anecdotal story. About a week before Christmas, I went to the dentist, okay? And the woman that works at reception there, she'd been there probably 30 years. She was there with the previous dentist. The new dentist is bought, and she's still there. And as I was leaving, she goes to me, "Hey, whatever happened with that water thing?" she says to me. So I stopped and I filled her in on the latest stuff and Jean McNeil's bill that she's trying to get through, the red flag alert, which would be a great benefit, I think, to every citizen in this city. And at one point she says to me, well, how much money did you end up paying? I said, well, it was close to $600 when it was all said and done. And her mouth dropped open and her jaw went slack. And she said, I would have had a heart attack if that happened to me. Now, that I'm going to have a heart attack phrase is bandied about pretty gratuitously. You almost hit deer on Center Street and you say, I almost had a heart attack, or the Eagles fumble on Sunday on the goal line where 80% of the fans are going to have a heart attack. So I kind of looked at her and she goes, well, there's no way I could have paid that. And I said, I understand. And then I saw something else in her face. I saw a brief flash of what I would say was fear, and I could see her wheels turning and how would she have paid for it? And being the way that I am, I, of course, resorted to some dark, cynical humor about it. And I said, don't worry, I said, if it did happen to you, the Dublin sewer people would love to put you on a payment plan. And she said, payment plan? Are you kidding me? I said, no, I'm not kidding you. That's what they do. If you can't pay, they let you string out the financial burden over a year or two, and the humility and all the other side effects, the emotional strain that comes with it. And she just shook her head, and the look of fear was gone, and she looked disgusted, and so on and so forth. And I said, well, it's not a pleasant process, and I hope it never happens to you. But as I left, I thought, this is exactly the kind of person that should be protected with Jean McNeil's red flag law. And my fear is, and I talked to Jean recently, is that it may not ever get to the point where Harrisburg looks at it, because there's so many bills that come up and they only select a few. So it might not even get selected. It's got a ton of support from Democratic state reps in our area, almost all of them. But I also fear the Republicans may shoot it down, because how things are with if they don't want to give the Dems a win on this thing. Although I can't think of anything more that should be bipartisan and protecting your citizens from these mega water and sewer bills that avalanche people. And that's what Gene's hoping to do. But, you'd be surprised, though. You dig into it, and some of those Republican, and not exclusively Republicans, but some of the state reps are getting, guess what? They're getting water money from the big water companies, not the municipal ones, but the private for profit they're giving to their campaigns. How do you think those guys are going to vote? So the likelihood of a Gene's bill passing, I don't know. But my point is, and I think council, if you really care about the people you're representing, should push the city here to enact that red flag alert, regardless of whether it gets passed or sees the light of day in Harrisburg. That would be the right thing to do. If the impetus between is to save water, not to waste water, they should be on board with that. They come in after a month and say something's wrong here, and the citizen wouldn't get socked for 3 months, which is how it is now. So it should be win-win for everybody, right? And they have the technology to do it, but do they have the will to do it? Or do they just... If they don't want to do it, if they don't want to save water, then you can only conclude that they'd rather have the penalty fees. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weber. So that concludes our list of who has signed up in advance. So now, I'll go around the room if there's anyone else who wants to make comment. Again, this is anything that we're not voting on this evening. Was there anyone to the left who wanted to make comment on anything that we're not voting on tonight? I turn to the White Center. I'll start in the very back row and work my way forward.
My name is Kathy Ornduck. I live at 528 North New Street, which is a block and a half from here. And parked the car in the rear of the building, and my car's been shot. This is not the first time. This is history for historic Bethlehem for you. This is not the first time. In August of 2023, there was a shooting at Long and East Walnut, and now my car's been shot, and I've had a 380 round pulled out of my dashboard. I have a hole in my door. Which leads me to my other business with the housing here. I'm pretty sure that I'm paying more in rent than at least a couple of you are paying for your mortgages. I pay $1,770 a month to have 725 square feet and a parking space for my car to get shot. I'm a one-income household. I'm a widow. I'm from Allentown and Emmaus. And when I had the opportunity to live here, I thought, wow. I've lived down in Georgia. There's no place down in Georgia that's like historic Bethlehem. Let me tell you how special this place really is. So here's my concerns. With Moravian Academy a half block away, a couple just moved into my building. They're having a baby in March. I've had several talks with the management company that owns the building in Northern Jersey, and they just want me to keep them posted. And I have an ongoing investigation, a detective that's working really hard, and I don't know if we're ever gonna get an answer. I can't get this guy. And believe me, I wanna know who this dirtbag did that did this to my car. I work hard. I love my car. I've worked so hard to have the things that I had. I've been homeless in my life. 25 years. I really worked hard to come out on top, and now I'm dealing with this, and I'm really concerned about my neighbors. I'm really concerned for the children at Moravian Academy. Parking authority officers. Guests at the Democratic Club, club members at the Democratic Club. The granola factory. Right behind me, which is doing well. I don't know if you've been over to Wegmans at Christmas time. They're selling kiffles for them now. So there's a business behind me that's really working hard to do good things in the community. So I'm doing the only other thing I know that I can do, being Irish. Once we have a cause, we don't back down. And if I can't get this guy and find out who he is, I'm going to come into City Hall and make sure everybody here knows I'm looking for him, and I want the community to pull together and try to help the police department do the best that they can to serve the community. I think they need a lot of help. I see a lot of what goes on in Bethlehem outside my kitchen window. A lot. And it's a lot of important people moving through my community every day. And I don't want to see anybody get hurt, especially children. I wonder if any of these parents are aware of what's going on at Moravian Academy at night. Thank you for your time. Have a nice evening.
Thank you, Ms. Wondar. Thank you for coming out. Our Chief of Police, Chief Codd, is here. I'm glad to hear you said the police are already involved in it. If you wanted to stick around for after the meeting to talk to any council members individually, you're welcome to. Our individual contact information is on the city website. If you wanted to speak with any of us individually also. It doesn't have to be a council meeting, it could be anything.
Hello, Happy New Year. My name is Catherine Grasso. I'm a resident of Bethlehem. I've lived here for about 10 years, and it has become my home. I love this city. I also work at DeSales University. I'm a professor in communication studies. The reason I'm here is because I am interested in serving the city in some capacity on the authorities, boards, or commission. I'm particularly interested in planning and zoning, but I would be open to learning about and becoming involved in other things as well. A few days ago, I sent my resume to the city clerk, and hopefully it's been passed along to each of you to take a look at, but I just thought I would come so you had a face with the name, and I really want to get involved, so I'm hopeful about future conversations with all of you about how I can be helpful in serving the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grasson. Thanks for coming out. Anyone else in the Wide Center who wants to make a comment this evening? I'll start with Ms. McCool.
Don't get old. Happy New Year. Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. At the last meeting, the issue at the intersections of Pennsylvania Avenue, Union Boulevard, Eaton Avenue was addressed. I was pleased to see the situation has been resolved. I also brought up the situation involving Club Avenue, Eaton Avenue, Hanover Avenue, and West Broad Street. My understanding was that Bethlehem was working with Allentown and PennDOT to devise a plan. On January 1st at approximately 5:15 a.m., I was awakened and noticed numerous emergency vehicles from Allentown in that area. Another apparent accident, I believe a photo showing the pole, was sent to the city representative, if not, Terry has one. The pole was basically snapped in half. From the angle I saw, the vehicle had to be traveling from Bethlehem to Allentown. My guess is that Bethlehem, while looking at the situation, probably won't proceed until the developer submits plans for the former Bennett car dealership. Hopefully there will be no fatalities in that area in the meantime. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. Ms. Clare.
Deep picture. Sorry, I only have one.
That's right.
Terry Koiber, Grandview Boulevard, Bethlehem. It's good to be back. I've been out for a month and a half with foot surgery, so I've missed you all. But what I wanted to talk about tonight, in addition to that, I mean, I'm sure hoping it doesn't take a fatality till something's done, building or no building on the Bennett lot. But back in February 2023, almost 2 years ago, I wrote this letter to our lawyer. Hi, I just wanted to let you know that I did inform Dwayne Wagner on Friday morning, February 24, 2023, that we did not want to meet with him and Norton Herrick. Just to give you, so you all know, this is in regard to Bennett's lot, the building that's going to go on, and how we've been fighting this. And how some people have said it's really nice that the builders talk to the neighbors and whatnot. So anyway, so how we did not want to meet with him and Norton Herrick on Saturday. In talking with Paul and Mary Jo, we were just not comfortable with that. At around 1 p.m. Friday, February 24, I received a call from Norton Herrick himself. He is the developer, wanting to see if we were sure we didn't want to meet with them. He said they just wanted to present ideas to make things better, i.e. flowers, shrubs, etc. And that we didn't have to speak, just listen to their ideas. One of the things he told me, that after talking to the mayor, he said that the mayor wanted him to put affordable housing in there. Then he asked me in a very condescending voice, do you want affordable housing in there? I said, we just want three stories, no higher, as that is what our neighborhood is. Our whole neighborhood is two-story except for one little set of townhouses, which go like 2.5 to 3 stories. He said he's not breaking any laws by going 5 stories, and if I wanted to blame someone for that, I should go after the Zoning Commission, as they are the ones who zoned that. Now, I know that, but that doesn't mean he has to go 5 stories, to which he said he has a lot of money invested in this. And I said, that's what you're all about, the money, and we are all about preserving the health of our neighborhood. I was very uncomfortable speaking with him and told him that it's not just me in the neighborhood, there are a lot of others. So it's not fair to everyone else for me to have this conversation with him. He said he's only ever done this with maybe 3 other people, Am I supposed to feel special that he wants to talk to us? I feel he got a little testy towards the end of the phone call, maybe because I didn't want to meet with him. I also do not feel he was telling the truth in that he wants to make things better for us, because his thoughts are all seeming to be superficial, i.e. flowers. That's not going to block that ugly building from our backyards. So I just thought you should know, this was again to my lawyer, I just thought you should know both Duane and Norton Herrick contacted me. I do not feel that either of them cares about us neighbors and are only looking for what they can get for themselves and their project. So the only reason I wanted to bring this up, I happened to come across this email, and I just wanted to remind you all that we are still fighting this tooth and nail, heart and soul. There was a hearing that we're waiting to hear on that our lawyer is fighting with the judge from, or I'm not even sure. He's fighting the commercial part of it because they're saying that they don't have to have commercial, and we want them to say it's a commercial lot, you need commercial in there. And I know Bethlehem's lawyer is also fighting for the 180 foot length that he wants to exceed. So I just want to kind of refresh you all that this is still very near and dear to us in the neighborhood. We walk around and we see, you can see the skyline. And to throw that in there, I don't know what legally we can do to fight it other than what we are, but I just wanted to kind of just remind you all we're fighting for the health of our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Quigg. Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I think the city must have turned the heat off at 5 o'clock again. About the so-called Hanover apartments, I can add one little fact to that. Some of the people in council already know this, but we met with the council members individually, one at a time. And they weren't allowed to bring anybody with them. But he had his number two there, so it was two against one. Just gamesmanship. And about this commercial business, it is presently zoned limited commercial, which has a 5-story limit. That's true. And they wanted to be excused from having to have commercial. The ordinance says that any multifamily housing has to be in the building with the commercial. They wanted to be excused from the commercial, which was granted by the friendly zoning hearing board. And their interpretation of that is that they can have 5 stories of housing anywhere on the property. Well, it would be equally logical to say that, and I want to read the decision again very closely, if the commercial was removed, which it was, but if the restriction is still there, then if you have to have, only can have multifamily housing in the building with commercial, and if there's no commercial, then you can't have any multifamily housing. This is certain would be an argument made at the Court of Appeals. About Broad Street, I've talked about that before, and it's worth noting perhaps it is a high-speed corridor. As I told you twice, I've been going the speed limit of 35 miles per hour, and I've been passed on the left. There's no stop signs or traffic lights between 8th Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue. That's a distance of almost a mile, if not a mile. And it's good that the city planning department is working towards some, shall we say, traffic calming on there. I think a good, perhaps, but expensive traffic calming would be to have a median with trees like there is on Pennsylvania Avenue. Of course, that's another problem, but that's a different one. And about the lady from North New Street, There was a, and the chief would know this, if the Black Watch at in Steve Samuelson's office, on that, almost on the corner of Broad and Center, if that Black Watch is still functioning, maybe that would be something that could be tried. And finally, I would like to make sure everybody knows a piece of good news on the development of front, and there's been very little of that recently. In Friday's morning call, there was an article reviewing development in Bethlehem, and apparently the main basis of it was an interview with Don Cunningham. But in one little paragraph here, German pharmaceutical company GFN Bremen acquired the former IQE building at 119 Technology Drive, where a developer earlier wanted to build apartments. GFM plans to put its U.S. headquarters and operations center there. And this request for apartments, as you may recall, was turned down twice by the previous council, and perhaps the present council was involved in one of them. So a good piece of development news. In other words, it's same old, same old. Penchant for overdevelopment. I've twice made references to Little Manhattan on the Lehigh, which some people seem to want. I understand that LehighValleyNews.com has a bunch of newsletters, and one of them is called The Little Apple. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Is there anyone else in the Wide Center who would like to make comment who has not had a chance to yet? Is there anyone to the right who would like to make comment? That's going to conclude our first public comment. We're going to move on to second public comment, which is reserved for comment on any ordinance or resolution that we're voting on tonight. No one had signed up in advance, so again, I'll go around the room if you'd like to make comment on something council is going to vote on. Is there anyone to the left who would like to make comment? Again, I turn to the Wide Center. Mr. Shine.
Just a short comment on the proposed contract with Artifact Incorporated. The CEO, as perhaps everyone knows, is Christine Usler, who used to be the historic officer for the city. Just want to mention, she even knows about the paints that were used in the Revolutionary War. Thank you.
Good to know. Thank you, Mr. Shine. Is there anyone else in the Wide Center who wants to make comment? And again, I turn to the right. Thank you, everybody who came out tonight. We're going to move on through the agenda. Old business, any old business for members of council? Not any old business? New business, any new business for members of council? I'll work my way down. I'll start with Councilman Quiatek.
Thanks. I actually just wanted to say thank you to everybody who came out to speak tonight, especially folks who've never spoken before. I really appreciate that. With regard to the situation behind your house, your apartment on U Street, ma'am, it does sound like it's related to something that we've heard about before, and we've received concerned communications from other residents. And so, Chief Cott, could you offer any update on what's going on with that, what seems to be a nuisance property or situation?
So the Liquor Control Board has yet to do a ruling yet. They had the hearing. We are anxiously awaiting the outcome of that hearing. We continue to provide a presence in the area whenever possible, when personnel power as well as call volume allow us. But you know, we are listening to the residents. We are providing an increase in our regular presence, especially on Saturday evenings in the early morning hours into Sunday. That has seemed to help the past two weekends. We do have a detective that is actively working on Miss Kathy's case the best that he can, and we really do need the community to come together to help us. That is the best course of action to have any positive solution from this issue that we're experiencing.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. It's when it started to ring a bell with me, I just thought, perhaps there was more you could tell us. I appreciate that. That was all.
Thank you. Councilman Ramsey Smith.
Thank you. I just wanted to address Mrs. Daniels' concerns. First, I wanted to clarify as far as the affordable housing. The only properties or developments that have to do every 10th unit fee in lieu are those that are getting the LRTA tax abatement. So if you're not getting the LRTA, they do not have to do the fee in lieu or every 10th unit, unfortunately. But I'm hoping maybe somebody from administration can address Mrs. Daniels' issues as far as, I know manpower may be an issue, but as far as enforcement, for example, the snow and the garbage and other issues. I know that you brought this up as well as Angela has brought it up in the past too.
I'm happy to address it, especially with respect to high grass and weeds, as mentioned, and garbage. Community Economic Development doesn't handle snow removal, but I would imagine the situation is the same. You know, so with a lot of these types of issues, first of all, I will say I, you know, certainly agree that these are quality of life issues that are really important for the community and for us. I think our inspectors do a really excellent job. The way that these issues are addressed are either through complaints, so that if there is a specific complaint about a property, you know, my neighbor has let their high grass grow, or you know, likewise with trash, we have enforcement officers in both bureaus who will go out on a complaint basis to address those problems, or with respect to general home conditions. We do get into homes quite frequently, rentals in particular. We're on a cycle where we're in a rental once every 3 years, and in the course of those inspections, we would look at any ordinance violations, for example, high grass and weeds, or you know, furniture on the porch and things like that. So, you know, we are not driving around the city on a daily basis, citing every house, but we do respond to complaints, and we do go out into homes for overall housing inspection on a one in every 3 year cycle. I'll also add, you know, when it comes to high grass and weeds in particular, you know, and trash as well, how we enforce that is, you know, we will do by ordinance what's allowed, which is sending a violation letter. There's a prescribed period of time that a property owner has to address an issue. And if there's a lack of follow-up or a lack of remediation on the part of the property owners, then we have to follow also what's by prescribed by ordinance, which will ultimately get us to a magistrate. So some of the challenge is the way the system is set up. If somebody calls and said, my neighbor has high grass, we could get out that very day, get on it that very day, and spend a lot of man hours. Our inspectors, as I said, do a really good job, and they are very diligent. But we may end up 6 months down the road just waiting for a magistrate to issue a, you know, to give us a court date. And that's unfortunately just the situation that we kind of have to deal with. But there are many instances where we are out there and are able to get, you know, voluntary remediation through, you know, conversations, through violation letters, and working with property owners. But, you know, it's a lot of work, and our guys, I think, our guys and ladies do a really good job getting out there.
Thank you. So basically, if anyone sees any issues, they should either report it on the MyBethel map or contact the health department for garbage, right?
So I think in general, people should call just the service center, and the service center directs people to the correct departments. Trash is handled now by the recycling office. It was previously, there was an officer in the health bureau, but it is now recycling. So a lot of people are calling the health bureau and they have to get redirected. So the easiest thing for anybody to do if they have complaints is just call the service center, and they'll create it like a ticket system and get it to the right person. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan?
Ms. Collins, is it possible on the quarterly newsletters that we send out, is it possible like to take maybe one third or a quarter of the page, a little block area, and just put like some type of notification on there for if you have any problems with hot weeds or garbage or furniture on there, this is the number to call.
Yeah, absolutely. We can set it.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's something we could keep on there for every quarterly thing. It seems like an important issue because every time, in 9 years I've been on council, it always comes up. And I think if we could have like a standardized area there, because it seems to be a recurring issue over and over and over again, just not with this council or the next council or the four council buildings. It's almost a yearly thing. So, it's just an idea. So.
Yeah, I absolutely can talk with the mayor's office about having that.
Thanks.
Am I allowed to say anything in response?
Not during the meeting, but you're welcome to address anything you want to with us afterwards. Any other new business for members of council?
It's more two PSAs than anything, but as the Southside was brought up, and I know that Ms. Daniels is aware of, she's very active in it, but if you are in the Indian Hill area or any of these areas that have high rental, high trash, Community Action is a great resource to go to. We regularly schedule cleanups. I don't work with Community Action, so it's not a week day. I just go to the cleanups. Regularly schedule cleanups, but it's also a really good point of conversation so we can start tracking what we're seeing the most and really target our efforts. So thank you as always for coming and bringing that to our attention. Also, I just wanted to remind people that we did sign that MOU, so if you have ring footage of anything disturbing in your neighborhood, you could always the cops can ask for it, you can give it, they can't come tell you, but if you want to be part of the solution, that is an avenue that is available for the police officers now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other new business? Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ms. Collins. I'll just kind of add to what was brought up before as it relates to enforcement, and as we heard earlier, and I agree with that, it's not new to council. So as I've stated multiple times over the years, one of my summer jobs was working for the Health Bureau doing enforcement, and I would go on behalf of the city to these magistrates. But sometimes I was working over the summer, and there were things from months prior that were finally going in front of the magistrate. And people, as you can imagine, we hear from, as we did tonight, people put resources behind getting out of things. People put resources behind not following the rules. And one of them is even as simple as needing a local property manager. That's not always the case. And then trying to hunt down or even contacting to address an issue, because it's on the responsibility is on the property owner, not a tenant, for something like garbage hauling and things like that. So I know these are not easy fixes, but I was just saying I appreciate everyone's continued efforts to make a dent in it. I know sometimes it feels like we're mopping outside while it's raining, but I do assure everybody that there are some dents being put in the problem. Mr. Callan?
Ms. Collins, one quick question. So if there's a violation that's noted and we have to go through that time period where the magistrate doesn't get to rule on it for a period of 4, 5, 6 months, if at that point the homeowner or the owner of the property remediates whatever the issue was, taking the furniture off of the porch or cutting the high grass or cleaning up the garbage, does that, if there's another he cleans it and then it's remissed. So then at that point, if there's another violation, does that start the whole process all over again? Or is it like a multiple violation?
I would say that in most instances, it would start the process over again if it were a different violation. Because the original violation, if it's remediated, then the magistrate would say there's no problem that this violation is remedied.
Right. So then maybe council needs to look at it, and maybe we'll be able to add to the code is that if there's repetitive violations within a certain amount of time, I don't know whether it's a year or 6 months or whatever, that there's an additional fine or something. Because I totally understand that if someone cleans up the process and then there's another violation, it does start over again, I guess, right? So
Mr. Alcala is reminding me that there is an escalator, I believe, in most of the ordinances where if there's multiple violations, multiple fines, it goes up each time.
Yeah, but there wouldn't be a fine, though. If I cleaned it up, if it was my property and someone called and said, hey, I grass, and before I went to the hearing to the district justice, I cleaned it up. So there's no violation then, right?
Well, there's still a violation, right? But there wouldn't have been
a fine.
A fine associated with it.
Yeah. Do you want to weigh in, Attorney Stewart?
Generally, you're being cited at a particular point in time for conduct up to that point. So even if you remediated before you went before the magistrate, the violation is for a prior period of time. So you could still potentially, that individual will still be potentially found guilty.
What committee would this go under, I guess, if we wanted to look at the ordinance to make sure it's, you know, the wording's tight?
Community and Economic Development.
Thank you.
Any other new business? Thank you, everybody. Thank you again, Ms. Collins. Mr. Miller, communications.
January 2nd, 2025 memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Mr. Boscola recommends a contract with Stephen G. Lowry and Associates Incorporated in Mechanicsburg to provide assistance in all hydraulic evaluations for water distribution system, assistance in planning and capital budget, develop standards for system design, evaluate impact of proposed developments, water quality investigations, SCADA and data analysis, cost estimating and review of hydrant flushing program. Cost of the one-year contract is $68,000. There are two optional yearly renewals at a cost of $68,000 each.
And resolution 10A is on the agenda tonight, 6B.
January 2nd, 2025 memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Mr. Boscola recommends a contract with ITR LLC of Bethlehem to perform predictive maintenance on equipment at the wastewater treatment plant. Cost is $10,200 for a contract that would run through 2025. Five annual renewal options are offered at the same annual price of $10,200.
And resolution 10B is on the agenda. 6C.
The December 30th, 2024 memorandum from Robert Vidoni, Housing and Community Development Administrator. Mr. Vidoni recommends a contract with Artifact Incorporated of Bethlehem to provide historic property reviews for many federally funded projects through the Community Development Block Grant and other programs. Term of the contract is 2 years, running from January 1st, 2025 through December 31st of 2026, and at a cost of $19,140. Contract is based on average cost per unit. An option exists for a second 2 year contract to run through December 31st, 2028 at a cost of $19,720.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda this evening. 6D.
The December 30th, 2024 communication from attorney Michael Ricciuti on behalf of EPG Investments II, LLC, with a petition requesting an amendment to the city zoning map involving 1115 West Garrison Street. The current zoning for this property is RT, or High Density Residential. The request is to change the zoning classification to become part of the adjacent Central Business District. The petition intends to propose a 70-unit apartment building with commercial/retail spaces on the first floor.
And I will accept a motion and a second to schedule a public hearing for February 18th here at Town Hall to hear and consider the requested zoning map amendment.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Leon, second by Councilman Callahan. Any discussion on the motion for the public hearing February 18th? All right, Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passed 7-0. So the public hearing is scheduled for February 18th here in Town Hall at 7 p.m. And that will be before, that's a council night, so that will start off our evening that night. And then the ordinance will be placed for first reading on a future agenda. Last communication, 6E.
The November 21st, 2024 memorandum with proposed resolution from Health Director Kristen Wenrick, requesting the destruction of records from the Health Bureau. Ms. Wenrick has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit accompanying the memo fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And that resolution will be placed on the January 22nd City Council agenda. Moving on to reports, I'll wait till all the appointments to go over our 2024 year in review. But we'll start with the first Council Manic appointment, Mr. Miller.
Council Manic appointment of Hillary Kwiatek to the Bethlehem Area Library Board. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leona and Ms. Cramson-Smith.
I'll just start briefly, as we have six appointments in front of us. So, as we heard from a speaker tonight about serving on authority board or commission, City Council appoints people to the Library Board, to the Environmental Advisory Council, and then a few positions on the Human Relations Commission. So these appointments that we're about to vote on are ones that came before Council. They're filling, some are reappointments, some are filling vacancies. And just for everyone's knowledge on kind of the process here, I do consult with Mr. Burke, the Executive Director of the Library, as well as Ms. Rothman, the Chair of the EAC, to help identify who's interested in serving, who's interested in being reappointed, and really who just keeps me up to date with the board configuration. Sometimes people, a lot of these you have to live in the city, sometimes people move. I don't necessarily know that right away, so I just want to again extend my thanks to Mr. Burke and then Ms. Rothman as well, along with the folks who are interested in volunteering, some of whom are here in the room tonight. So thank you for coming out this evening. But right now we are on the first appointment for the Library Board. So I will open it up to any discussion regarding this appointment. Start with Councilwoman Guizek.
Thank you. I just want to say, first of all, I'll be standing this evening. But also just to, especially after hearing Ms. Grasso's desire to serve and everything, this particular seat is a seat that Councilwoman Vice President Leone is vacating because she's taken another role. And it's in particular a seat that the Executive Director of the Library wishes to have a council member in. So it's I just wanted to, because we've talked before about how important it is to have people from all over the city serve, and so I just wanted to put that on the record and make sure people understood that.
Thank you, Councilman. I will confirm, yes, that comes from the Executive Director at the Library, just looking at the makeup of some of the other, not some of the other participating municipalities, and then the request to see if any council members were interested, so I polled all members of council individually. And thanks for your willingness to volunteer for one more thing, Mr. Kwiatek. Any other discussion on the appointment? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Abstain.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0 with one member abstaining. For Krista Jacobson.
Council Manic appointment for Christy Jacobson, also to the Bethlehem Library Board. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion. Call the roll. Councilman Leonard.
Just wanted to say I've had the pleasure of working with Christy at Moravian, and as a freelance designer, we've worked collaboratively on some projects, and I think she'd be a great asset to the library. Glad to see her.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. For Ron Williams.
Council Manic appointment, Ron Williams, also to the Bethlehem Library Board. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0 for Mr. Guthrie. Guthrie.
Council Manic appointment of Benjamin Guthrie to the Environmental Advisory Council. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 7-0. The appointment for Ms. Trembler.
Council Manic appointment, Katie Trembler, to the Environmental Advisory Council. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion. discussion on the appointment? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. And the last appointment from Mr. Olszewski.
Council Manic Appointments, Stephen C. Olszewski, also to the Environmental Advisory Council. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. So that concludes our six appointments. Thanks again to those volunteers. As is custom, I will review our annual City Council report for 2024. There are looking to go over a few things. 2024 was another busy year for the City and City Council. It was a year that saw Bethlehem join the likes of Athens, Venice, London, and Rome as cities on the world stage for UNESCO World Heritage Sites. The historic Moravian Bethlehem District, as part of the widely advertised transnational site Moravian Church Settlements, in 2024 was named as a historic destination and joined world-renowned landmarks such as the Acropolis, the Roman Forum, Vatican City, and the Great Wall of China. Much credit belongs to the Bethlehem World Heritage Council and Commission, along with the Bethlehem Area Moravians, Central Moravian Church, Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites, and Moravian University. For its part, City Council was pleased to support the efforts in ways possible that led to inscription on July 26. We are proud to help our city celebrate this momentous achievement, which is something that we can all celebrate for years to come. In addition to being proud of our city's history, Council also in 2024 supported actions toward ensuring Bethlehem's future. Council held a committee of the whole meeting to review plans about the demolition and reconstruction of the Walnut Street Garage. Council also held public hearings to approve a zoning map change, which led to a street vacation to make way for the garage. As anyone who's been downtown saw, demolition has taken place, and the garage's replacement is anticipated for the 2025 Christmas season, along with the additional adjacent development that's currently being planned. Council continues to support efforts to reduce homelessness and create affordable housing. Council endorsed efforts to apply for grant money toward the Gateway on 4th project and authorized two contracts to enhance the Pembroke Choice neighborhood project. The first was for a traffic study to review the Pembroke Road and Stephville Boulevard corridor. The second was to conduct a market study to evaluate demand for affordable and market rate rental and for sale housing. Additionally, Council has reviewed intentions for making significant street changes, including restoring two-way traffic to Center and Linden Streets. Major renovations are also planned to make much of East and West Broad Streets pedestrian and bicycle friendly and generally more appealing. Council also has authorized refurbishment at the wastewater treatment plant and a replacement of a 2 million gallon reservoir drinking tank. Meanwhile, grants, contracts, and other authorizations involving city parks and recreation have frequently come before council and council agendas. Bethlehem reached a milestone late in the year with the final purchase of land that will close the Greenway Trail Gap, which will complete a dream that started several years ago. Council passed resolutions authorizing phase two of improvements to the Monocacy Trail, and it authorized work to be done to make significant improvements to Saucon Park, the Rose Garden, and Fairview Park, as well as a complete makeover of Friendship Park. In addition, Council authorized a study of the city's park system, which is going to provide a comprehensive prioritization of future needs for our park system here in the city. In all, Council held our customary 24 regular meetings. Council also conducted 13 committee meetings, three of which were committee of the whole meetings, including our ethics training for Council and the administration. Council also held a curative amendment hearing lasting 7.5 hours total over 2 nights to consider proposed changes to the limited commercial zoning district. All in all, the year led to the passage of 61 ordinances and 280 resolutions. Key legislation passed included a new article to curtail the use of illegal dirt bikes and all-terrain vehicles on city streets that our chief of police brought forward with intentions of improving safety and reducing nuisances, as well as amending the animal ordinance to ban the sale of pets from puppy mills within the city, which was brought forward by Councilwoman Ramsey Smith. Looking ahead, 2025 promises to be another busy year. Our efforts will continue as we continue to promote affordable housing, as well as working to complete initiatives that were started in 2024, as well as preceding years. As always, Council will continue to work with the administration and all the department heads to bring residents and businesses of Bethlehem the services that we've all come to expect and enjoy, and why we're all here. And tonight we start 2025. Thank you for joining us. That concludes my report. I'll turn it over to Mr. Evans.
Thank you, President Colon. As you noted, the mayor accepted an invitation to be with our great partners at Bethlehem Area School District tonight at the VOTEC board meeting, and I'll be speaking on with regard to the expansion project. It's just great and very exciting development opportunity on the south side for us in the coming months and a couple of years to get that going. We have one administrative order and then two quick reports or announcements. Administrative order number one.
Administrative order 2025-01. Cynthia E. Gutierrez, Luna, Board of Health. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leona and Ms. Cramson Smith.
Any discussion on the appointment to the Board of Health? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramson Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. That passes 7-0.
Thank you. Two announcements. First one occurred last time we met as a group was on December 17th, the last council meeting of the year. And as council is aware, there are three collective bargaining units inside the city of Bethlehem, the Fraternal Order of Police and the International Association of Firefighters are currently operating under four-year contracts. Those contracts run from 2023 through end of 2026. The previous SEIU contract, which is our bargaining unit that is Public Works, it's our non-uniform employees, it's clerical, it is our paramedics, and their contract ran 2022 through 2024. It was set to expire on December 31st, but after a series of constructive meetings in November and December, we were pleased to announce that the administration and SEI have agreed to terms for a new four-year contract. And that contract will now run from 2025 through 2028. So that we're very pleased with the results of that. And that was ratified by a vote of SEIU's general membership on December 19th, which again was the Thursday after last time. So this is the first time we've seen you since that was taken care of and came to a successful closure. So good. The other item is we want to thank you again with regard to finances and in the collaboration we had during the budgeting process. We do have some early 2024 numbers I just want to share. There are no surprises evident that were immediately evident, and as always, we will be fully audited, which will begin in the coming weeks and last most of the year to get the 2024 numbers completed. But the final numbers are solid. We want to thank Council, first of all, for all the steps through the years, and also all the employees throughout the city. We have people across City Hall doing a variety, wide variety of responsibilities that they need to take care of. They're also stationed throughout the community. We also think of our first responders out in weather like this, as well as water sewer department. When we talked to staff this morning, several water main breaks, weather like this, when Mother Nature strikes and hit the hard winter, there's a number of conditions that become difficult, but just another one of them that we need to deal with and respond to, deliver, maintain, repair are the things that keep the city running, the water and the sewer. So they've been out and very busy, and in the coming weeks you might expect also Public Works, whatever else they need to do, will engage in snow ops as needed. But that staff, along with City Council and all our partners, allowed us to reach a successful 2024 conclusion. Quick and broad overview, real estate tax, our largest line item, did or will, and we're still doing some reconciliation with regard to taxes, will meet or exceed the budget line item. That's our $35 million number. So our $100 million budget, that line item alone is our single largest. EIT, which we showed you the chart during the budget hearings, has had strong growth the last couple of years, did level off. It exceeded a conservative budget number of 10.7. It reached 11.8. I'll remind you that 2023 was also 11.8. So the second consecutive year, it's reached 11. Point out, but stayed at that number for two consecutive years, and we think that's a good number for next year. For the 2025 budget, that number is in at 11.9, so I think we're set there. IRAC 11 511 taxes also were solid and exceeded budget. D transfer 1.6 came in at $2.0 million. LST at 1.9 reached 1.96. Mercantile budget at 2.8 reached 3.4 million. So all slightly above the budgets we placed in 2024. EMS transports 3.65 budget ended at 4.4. Recycling budget at 2.8 ended at 2.8. So very accurate projection. Interest income, which we talked about running strong, was budget at 1.1 and reached 1.9 million for the year. Interest rates did not drop as were forecasted. As a result, when interest rates stayed up on our balances, the revenue was higher. And the host fee moved from 9.8 to $9.9 million. On the expense side, there were savings. Of course, nothing went over budget. Under budget, personnel was very close, but there were savings of $380,000. There were savings of $96,000 overall. This is the general fund we're talking about specifically. And overtime, the materials and supply budget was budget at 2.25, came in under budget at 1.9. The 4200 account, which are purchased services, including medical, those collectively reached 84% of budget. Pension and debt, which are large line items, but we know them before the year starts what they're going to be, so they came in and exactly what we knew they would be. Equipment, budget at 3.4, and we spent 3.3, 98% of the budget with regard to the equipment line items. In totality, the revenue of $101 million for their general fund with the expenses estimated at 96. So there is expected to be, and we'll wait until the dust settles and numbers are finalized. The audit is completed, but there will be a surplus for the final 2024, and that's a good thing. That will be added to the reserves. The water, sewer, golf, stormwater, which are all separate funds, I'm not going to go into those right now, but they also had very solid years. The numbers were all fine. We talked a lot about that, where we were at that point during the budget hearing. And I'll remind anyone that's in this room or otherwise that on our homepage, these numbers are available every month. Everything on our Finance Plus posts to our website. It's available on the homepage on a quick link. Under the Open Bethlehem, there's a blue bar graph that if you click it on, there's several things that are available there. All of our budgets, past and present, all the audits from the past years are available. And every month, a full list of what I just kind of ran through the budget, where we are to the actual, both revenues and expenses are available. So that completes the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. And I know at the next council meeting, we should be announcing a finance committee meeting coming up.
Yes, we're scheduling finance for first one of the year. Thanks.
Turn to our community development chair, Councilwoman Kwiatek.
The Community Development Committee will meet on Tuesday, January 21st, 2025 at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. There is one item on the agenda, proposed amendments to Article 534 involving the Residential Permit Parking Program. Hillary Kwiatek, Chairperson, Community Development Committee.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. We don't have any ordinances for final passage tonight. We don't have any new ordinances tonight. So we're going to jump to resolutions. Mr. Miller, Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Stephen G. Lowry and Associates Incorporated to perform hydraulic evaluations for the water distribution system and other specified related to resolution sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion on the resolution. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passed 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the ITR LLC to perform predictive maintenance at the wastewater treatment plant. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Pass 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Artifact Incorporated to conduct historic site reviews as necessary. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Ms. Kubiak.
Counsel.
I just had a question, I guess, for Ms. Collins. Can you just explain this a little further? Because I'm just wondering, first of all, what type of properties, and is this new that we need to contract with historic preservation specialist, or what, is this a new mandate from the state?
This is not new. We have had somebody under contract for as long as I've been here, and I think for a while before. So predominantly with our CDBG funding, but also with now with other federal funding that we've been receiving as well, there are federal requirements for a specific type of environmental review on any projects that are receiving federal funding. And so we contract with Artifact and Christine Essler, who's, I think, pretty well known in the historic community here, to do those historic reviews. So that would be any project that is funded by CDBG, whether it's a city project or a subrecipient, for example, the community project funding dollars that we're receiving from the federal government for the Bethel Food Co-op or the Greenway or Friendship Park, all of those projects that have the federal dollars require this specific type of historic review.
And so, just so I'm clear, so did we have a contract with another entity before Artifact, or with, did Artifact, did we have a contract with them previously and we're just continuing it?
Correct. We had Artifact had been doing this work previously and it expired, so we are now we're entering a new two-year contract with 2 1-year renewal options.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Thank you, Ms. Collins. Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Kubiak.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
And Ms. Colon.
Aye. Passed 7-0. And our last resolution, 10D.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 117 East 4th Street to install 2 signs on the front facade of the building, 1 wall sign and 1 with dimensional letters mounted on the entrance canopy. Resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Any discussion on the certificate of appropriateness? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kubiak.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passed 7-0. That concludes the first meeting of the new year. Get home safely, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.
8.